This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left.
Time now for Bills Game Day with Jeremy White, powered by Energy Mart, official energy supplier of the Buffalo Bills.
Are we there? Are you guys hear me? I never heard. All right. Okay. All right. Very good. How's everybody doing, guys?
How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm all right.
This is weird. It's 3 o'clock.
It is 3 o'clock. We're all off. All right. Anyway, let's get things started. All right. Hi. We're all here. Jeremy, Nate, Corey's here. We're getting you ready for an 8:20 kickoff between the Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs with John Murphy and Eric Wood calling the play-by-play from the Northwest Bank broadcast booth. Today's broadcast is presented by Great Lakes Building Supplies. Our business is protecting your business. The Bills game is. Game Day is powered by Energy Mark, official energy supplier of the Buffalo Bills. Now, the weather will be a factor tonight. I saw Nate tweeting
about it.
Nate, you're my meteorologist today because I know you're following it very closely. Kansas City weather brought to you by Sullivan's Brewing Company from Ireland to Buffalo. The best ales in the world. So let's get the skinny. It's not just a blanket. It's going to rain, right? It looks like it's going to rain late, or has that changed?
So, listen, I mean, I guess it's really depending on where you go. Weather.com has this evening basically from 7 p.m. on at around 80% chance of rain throughout the evening, getting into about 100% chance of rain right around 10 o'clock, which is, you know, basically halftime of this football game. If you go to AccuWeather, the real rain, like in the chances of rain, doesn't really start until 11 or 12 o'clock. So okay. I get the sense it's going to be there is a storm system, a storm cell that's going to be moving through Missouri in northern Missouri near Kansas City this evening. And it does look like it's going to be a little sort of like scattered, but they're going to get some rain tonight one way or another. It's just a matter of how much could fall between kickoff and the end of the game. My hope is it's very little impact in the game because this would be like watching the Fury Wilder fight yesterday if they had a slap box instead. You know, that's what it would be like. So,
well, let's you know, there's rain and then there's rain. Do we think that this is... Could you golf through it? Because if you can golf in it, then you can play football in it, right? A nice drizzle. These fields are obviously designed for drainage the same way the golf course would be. So I feel like if we can play golf in it, then the game does not necessarily have to be some sort of mud fest.
No, but it is a grass field, which is something to note as well in this game. This is not a turf field where, like last week in Buffalo, you know, it poured and basically all you're working with is a slick ball and a slick surface. Which also, by the way, Jeremy, not only will the surface and potential precipitation affect, you know, like, you know, holding onto the football today and what the offenses are potentially going to do, if you've got players like Chris Jones or Matt Milano, who are game time decisions based on, particularly I'm thinking about Milano in this, with a hamstring injury, you might just say, well, with these conditions, there's no way we're putting you out there. And that would be my guess today. If rain is in the forecast, it's raining pregame, I would bet Matt Milano is not in the lineup. I just don't think you risk it, you know, him tweaking something because of the surface is slippery or something out there. So that could also play a factor, and not just, you know, hanging on the football today, but, you know, whether or not, you know, game time decisions end up dressing today.
So if I may jump in, the National Weather Service is looking at central Oklahoma today for an outbreak of like pretty severe, possibly pretty strong tornadoes having an outbreak there. Kansas City is on the outer limits of the warning zone for what the National Weather Service has said is like a marginal to slight risk of storms developing. So they're on the outer edge of this like big storm complex that's going to be moving through the Midwest. If there's going to be storms tonight in Kansas City, they're going to look like Midwest thunderstorms. So it's going to be a supercell. It's going to be a bunch of rain at once, and then it's going to move out and probably move on.
Yeah, I mean, that's like best case, maybe best case scenario. I think best case scenario is it just doesn't rain.
And yeah, I think they get lucky and they dodge it because it moves. It's not a big wave of rain coming through. It's pockets of rain.
Cool.
And it just misses.
I would appreciate that if the weather could just hold off.
Well, one thing, you know, asking how this could affect the game, of course, is slippery ball. How well can you throw it? All that kind of stuff. How, you know, are you changing cleats and all that stuff? But how about if you win the toss, you take the ball? You know, you want to, yeah. if it's the moment that it's nice out, I'll make another golf analogy. Hey, the wind dies down. Get up there and hit now. You know,
right.
While you have an opportunity, if the Bills are to win the toss, I mean, a lot of teams will defer. And if a toss is won tonight, you just say, we would take it right away. And because we might have more at our disposal earlier in the game than we might later on when things get rainy. I can remember a Chiefs game. Boy, Chiefs fans would probably remember this one specifically. There was a game that was so rainy in Kansas City that they superimposed the Chiefs' name in the end zone because it had been mudded and, like, washed out. They actually, the broadcast redid it. Somehow, you know, like they do the first down line, and that happened.
So they made it digitified.
Yeah, exactly. Like the broadcast put the name on the field because you couldn't see the name in the end zone anymore, and it was like this crazy weather event. There have been a couple, right? Isn't there another? I feel like I can see highlights of Arrowhead Stadium with water pouring down the concourses
and Sammy Watkins making catches, like he had one of his best games as a Bill in Kansas City. While it was just absolutely pouring for that game as well. Yeah. Like there has just, it feels like every matchup against the Bills and Chiefs, there is some sort of weather at play. It was last year in that week 5 game. It was rainy, just miserable conditions in Buffalo. But again, you had the turf. And now that, you know, they're going to have the grass surface with the mud, I just wonder. I'm a big baby about this. I have no problem admitting that, like, people are like, oh, Nate, you're so soft about the weather. I'm like, yep, uh-huh, I am. I hate weather. I'd rather just play in 65 degrees and clear skies and maybe a little bit of wind with these quarterbacks' arms. Who cares? It's just the entertainment value for this game and the buildup that it's been, Jeremy, is offense, offense, offense. I was listening to ESPN Radio on the way in. They're like, yeah, this one will be like 75-70, this final in this game. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's funny to say, but like in reality, a lot of people are expecting a high-scoring game, and I just think, you know, if both these offenses are forced to play with like an arm tied behind their back, it's just going to be not as entertaining and fun.
Yeah, it would be majorly disappointing, and, you know, apply it to both the Chiefs and the Bills. Mm-hmm. Let's say the Bills played the Jaguars, not even Kansas City, in a game that's a weather event like this one, if it rains that much, and the offense scores 13 points. What are we all going to say? Well, come on, doesn't right. really count. You know, that's not who you are. You did the best you could in crazy conditions, but it sometimes it can get so bad that it won't count. And if you have two good teams in a game like that, well, then they both have an excuse. You know, if the Bills shut down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense like nobody else has, but it's because it's really rainy, then that's always going to be a little asterisk / disclaimer when people talk about it. And I think what Bills fans are looking for today is, one, a win, of course. But what it means, if they are to win this game, it means that they have the inside track for the one seed in the AFC. And maybe, I don't want to say more than that, but it's like a flag planting on a soggy hill moment if it's raining so much. But you're planting your flag as the Buffalo Bills, as we have our eyes on being the kings of the AFC, yeah. And we just proved that we can go to their place and win it. And I while the rain might help you win, I think you want to say, I don't want any excuses from anybody when this is over.
That's fact.
I want it to be clear who is better.
Yeah, and I think that's where I'm sitting in this whole thing is it's a great opportunity for, and I think about the other thing about this, Jeremy, is thinking about who weather might, you know, where the scales tip if the weather is crappy in this game, which I think we should just assume is going to be the case. So, like, where do the advantages lie in these two offenses? And I would probably say the advantage lies solely with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think some people might disagree with that just based on how that team wins. But Patrick Mahomes has really yet to prove that he can't, like, handle any sort of condition and still be Patrick Mahomes. Where right. Sometimes I've seen Josh Allen in the rain, like in that game last year against Kansas City, and he did not look like himself. So he did look very good again last week in the rain. He spun the ball very well, I thought, at times. But, you know, he also threw a pick on the very first play of the game. So
right. Yeah, the ball sailed a little bit on that one. All right, 803-0550 is our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. You can give us a call and let us know how you're feeling about this game. It's finally here. I mean,
sort of.
Five more hours. but, the day is finally here. It's the dogs are barking.
That's right.
I've got chaos around here because they're excited about this game. So, it's finally arrived. A date that Nate, we circled Bills Chiefs on the schedule as soon as we knew they would play, which was long before the schedule came out. You knew first place matchup, it's going to happen at some point. And boom, schedule comes out week 5. Okay, circle it. October 10th. That's the day. And, it's in prime time on Sunday Night Football. A spot that the Bills have not really, been regulars on for quite some time. They've had their shots these days, but it had been a long time since you ever heard Al Michaels call a Bills game.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it was. on this station this week, right? I mean, he was on the afternoon show with Mike and Chris. Like, it's such a cool feel, this game, and the buildup to this game. And I could tell you that most everyone that I know has just been sort of waiting around, hoping for this game to sort of come around. And I'm glad that it's here. I'll be probably incredibly anxious and nervous about it until kickoff starts. And then it becomes sort of any other game, because I think the reality, Jeremy, should probably set in soon that, again, this is a week 5 game. This ain't, the AFC Championship game. This isn't week 16 with a first, with a first place bye on the line. Now, I think a lot of people might want to look at this matchup and say whoever wins this matchup likely gets the number one seed, or at least, at the very least, if the Bills win this matchup, they have a better than 50% chance of securing the number one seed in a bye week in the first round of the playoffs. So, listen, that's what this game is about. Those are the stakes in this game. So I think for me, I'm just kind of looking forward to seeing what it looks like, if that makes sense. Like, the first couple of minutes, I want to see what it looks like.
Yeah, and you want to see this offense find a way against this Kansas City team. It's very odd because you've got everything pointing to, if we could remove the weather for a moment, everything pointing to the Bills offense against the worst defense in football. Like, okay, so don't punt today. But on the flip side of that is,
or kick field goals.
Yeah, right. On the flip side of that is, but for whatever reason, you haven't had that game against this team. And I don't know if it's because the Chiefs offense is in your head. I don't think that's it. So Nate, like, when you go back and watch the matchups with these Chiefs teams, what is it that you've seen in the passing game? Because it really has been the passing game that has struggled against this Chiefs defense. The Bills aren't exactly the best run team in football, so if they don't run it well against them, I'm not surprised. They're one of the best passing teams in football. They've played them twice, and they've been two of Josh Allen's weakest performances. Mm-hmm. So what is it that they do, even though they don't necessarily have, this stable of horses that just, dominate the defensive side of the football?
When I watch it, it makes me think about gripping the ball too tight, like being a little tight and thinking about not making a mistake instead of being who you are. That's sort of what I see this passing offense is. I think the plays are right. Like they're not changing who they are from a scheme perspective. I think, generally speaking, they're just trying not to give the ball back to the other team. And when you play like that, you'd sort of fundamentally take away what this offense and Josh Allen like are at its core, which is sort of like they wouldn't you say this, Jeremy, that at times when the Bills offense is humming, when Josh Allen is clicking, he is sort of pressing the line between insanity and like recklessness, right? But like there just is a really, describe what I'm talking about, but they sort of just sit on this line of, I'm going to make a big play. Josh Allen's going to make a crazy throw on the sideline in a window that 31 other quarterbacks wouldn't try throwing. Mm-hmm. And that has to be how he plays, especially against a defense like this that is not playing well.
Yeah.
Like, they're just not playing well.
And they give up big plays, the Chiefs do. The one thing I start to wonder about is, you know, Allen, one of his strengths, Nate, is, of course, the off-schedule, off-script stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see the touchdown from Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase today? Like, where is that from the Bills? Because we know he's got the arm, he's got the legs, they've got the receivers, and yet it almost feels like, you know, while you're saying sometimes he tries to make a big play, sometimes what the Bills will do is have a high degree of difficulty throw that goes for 17, and it's good and awesome. But you wonder, where's the just huck it deep and see what happens? Because some teams do that. The Seahawks do that incredibly effectively to Lockett and DK Metcalf and, you know, get Diggs one-on-one deep like he had that catch against the Raiders last year. It doesn't seem like they give these receivers that many opportunities to do that, be it Diggs, Davis, Sanders. It's going to be one of those three guys. And I wouldn't mind seeing some of that today. If, by the way, everything's going to be weather permitting. But I would like to see the Bills stretch it more because it feels like they're still not fully stretched out as an offense.
Yeah, and they could be working on this thing all season, Jeremy. And I mean that's just kind of the way it goes. Like we talked about the lack of preseason this year, or maybe using that as an excuse of why they came out of the gate a little slow against Pittsburgh. But it's very clear that guys like Emmanuel Sanders, and that's kind of the guy I'm thinking about here, as he's sort of integrated his way into the offense. Like I think he's started to really fit into this offense well. And he's sort of the X factor in this game, Jeremy. I also think like Dawson Knox, those are two guys, particularly Sanders, who just wasn't on the roster last year. But I think Knox is a different player right now in this offense. I think he's being asked to do different things than he was last year this time. So, and this offense looks a little different than it does last year. And with the Chiefs, it looks exactly the same. It's not going to change. Why would it? You know, and I think that's the one thing in this game that if you are a Bills fan, you're thinking you're a little hopeful about, because you are a little bit different than you were last year. You're not going to be running 4 and 5 wide receiver sets ad nauseum against this defense, but you're going to run more 11 personnel. You're going to get your tight end. You're going to get Emmanuel Sanders, a third receiver that can really find the zones. And this is a defense that's going to challenge you with man coverage, and you probably want to welcome that today. You want to welcome that, and that could be the big thing, Jeremy, is if these corners, which have not done a good job or in the early part of this season, can get at the line of scrimmage, get their hands on these wide receivers because of the conditions, that could really compound things as well. But if all things are equal, I love the man-on-man matchup. That Breshad Breeland's no longer on that team, and they really miss him, the physicality that he brought, because they just have not been the same defense in the backfield there, in the defensive backfield, since last year.
Does it get tougher to play sticky coverage in the rain, right? That's the phrase you hear about the Chiefs' coverage. Emmanuel Sanders talked about that this week, about how they get up in your face, they're going to be on you. If you're playing man coverage, you know, of course, you've got a man. And the Chiefs, even though they're not necessarily good defensively, Sanders gave the impression, Nate, that they like to get under the skin of their opponents.
Yeah.
They really get up in the face of receivers. And it's something that they got away with in the AFC Championship and then didn't get away with in the Super Bowl. And you see what a difference that makes for a defense. They shut the Bills down, and they got roasted by the Bucs because there's all these flags for legal contact. And, you know, I wonder if McDermott works an official before the game. Like, remember, these guys, it's their plan. Their whole plan is to hold us all day long. So make sure you got an eye for that, because it's definitely their reputation. And if they're going to go man coverage and footing is going to be worse, I'd imagine they might hold a little bit more to try and go along for the ride.
You watching any of these games today?
I'm watching some of them. I'm trying to, just like you.
Are you red zoning?
Well, before that, I'm trying to see through the rage of sitting Miles Gaskin today.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, let's we can move past it.
Yes, we can. yes, we can.
We have to
move past it.
You have to. If you had Miles Gaskin, you're like, why don't they play him? I guess I should sit him on my bench. What's that? He's an all-star? Great. Thanks, Brian.
I'm sorry, Flores. 2 touchdowns today?
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks.
Oh, 10 catches? Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. What, 3 touches last week?
All week. They had, like, 2 other running backs were playing over him, for God's sakes. Yep. Give me a break, Brian Flores.
Yes, we should keep people abreast of the other scores.
Yes.
We should red zone this stuff. So what do you got?
But what I was going to ask you is, have the Houston Texans today just kind of being all over the New England Patriots? It looks like that's going to be a win for Houston and Davis Mills, who was like at one point 14 of 16 for 246 yards and 2 touchdowns.
That's incredible.
What does that mean, if anything, from last week? Like,
Well, definitely, I think it definitely is a,
is it
a little
say more,
feather.
Does it say more about the Patriots?
It might say more about the Patriots. I mean, Davis Mills on the road, first ever start on the road, and
crappy conditions,
rainstorm, yeah, and number one defense is tough. Home, New England, an offense he doesn't have to keep up with, right?
Yeah.
I would say the degree of difficulty against New England is significantly lower, but that said, it might say a lot about New England. I mean, it might really give a sobering slap across the face to anybody that thought New England was just going to roll out Mac Jones and, oh, yeah, he'll just be good from the start, and there'll be no growing pains, and yeah, the Patriots have their quarterback. Mac Jones looks good. You know, that doesn't seem to be too loud today.
And can I also say that it sort of feels like maybe the NFC outside of Arizona is not very good. Like the contenders. We have Green
Give
Bay.
Give me Dallas, too. I want Dallas,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dallas, too. But Green Bay is struggling against the Cincinnati Bengals right now. 19-14. It's in the red zone. They're going to go up two scores here. But, like, you look at the Buccaneers, who have given up 17 points to an offense that, what? I mean, just like the worst offense I've ever seen with Jacoby Brissett. They've given up 17, but it's a one-score game. And they almost lose to the Patriots last week. So, like, maybe the big and bad Bucks aren't as good in the NFC as maybe we had thought going into the season they were.
I wonder about the Bengals. Not exactly a big buyer on them, but that said, you know, if Ja'Marr Chase gives them that explosive element of offense to take them to one level higher, then maybe they are a little bit better than people think. If they beat the Packers to go to 4-1, either one of these teams is about to be 4-1. And if it was the Bengals beating the Packers, I think it'd be kind of a shot against the NFC. Like, wow, you know, the second or third best team in the NFC is losing to the Bengals. And I don't know, like contenders. The AFC is chock full of them, probably, right? Kansas City, Vegas, Buffalo. Yep. I would say Baltimore. I would say Cleveland, I wonder. Cleveland's got a big test today against
Cleveland
the Chargers.
Is super interesting. Just incredibly interesting.
They're just so different than the rest of the contenders because they're not an explosive offense. They are, of course, built on the run game and great defense. And past that, you know, if you get them in a hole, can they get out of it? The point that's made about Lamar Jackson and the Ravens when they have to shift to a passing game, I feel like you should make it more about the Browns.
Yeah. Absolutely. Who did I have on yesterday that we were talking about this with? It was Matt Verderam of Fansided, the NFL reporter. And we were talking about the Browns yesterday about Baker Mayfield and how difficult of a decision the Browns are going to have with Mayfield here coming up. And on the other side, you have, I think, Lamar Jackson proving that he doesn't need like some perfect running game to be an effective passer in the NFL. Quite the contrary for Baker Mayfield right now. He has the best running game in football. He has the best offensive line in football. He's got Odell Beckham Jr. He's got the, you know, quarterback-friendliest system in the league in Kevin Stefanski's offense. And yet he is still just searching for it. And how long do you wait if you're a contender for your quarterback to just limp along? It's not like they've got options behind him or something, you know, like a, what is it, Case Keenum? Like, that's not a viable option to turn things over to. But it's just, what a tough time for Cleveland because they are a Super Bowl contender with an average quarterback, and they don't even have that right now. They don't have an average quarterback in Baker Mayfield.
Yep. 803-0550. Anybody else got a thought on these contenders? And, of course, the two that we'll meet tonight on Sunday Night Football. You can give us a call, 1-888-550-2550. We'll check in with Sal Capaccio coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, get the latest on the ground from him about the rain and what people expect, you know, what you want to see out of this team and what you expect. You mentioned Dawson Knox. Maybe next segment I want to get a little more into the running game and what the Bills might try to do today, maybe weather-based. Maybe it was the plan all along. I don't know about running it too much more, but This is a team, Nate. This is an opponent that the Bills, I think, have kind of taken lessons from. They lose, and they've come away talking like they've got to be a little bit different for this team. And here it is, like all the talk of the offseason, what you have to do against Mahomes and what you have to do against that defense. You built your roster kind of to do it. So you want to be better running the ball. You want to be better rushing the passer. Tonight's an opportunity to kind of show your work from the summer. How did it all come together? So we'll, of course, get to that. We'll get your scores. The witching hour is on the way here for the 1 o'clock games. The Falcons beat the Jets from London earlier. Kyle Pitts, breakout party for him. Nice to see that. Nice to see over 100 yards and a touchdown for Kyle Pitts, the rookie tight end from Florida.
It was great to see.
Yes, yes, good for him. All right, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. If you'd like to join us, we encourage you to give us a call. TRS Heating and Air Conditioning, they want to intercept your heating bills. This football season, winter is right around the corner, and TRS Heating and Air Conditioning, yeah, they'll intercept your heating bills. Register to win at WGR550.com. Also be listening for the ECMC Halftime Show, ECMC. Go where the Bills go. We'll recap the key moments of the first half and bring you up to date on the Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks Equipment Rental, your construction, equipment, and tool rental source, building America from ground up. Visit SkyworksLLC.com.
Put a lot of time into your craft. A lot of my time goes into things that I love, and I love this game. So as far as like being in the moment and, you know, embracing that the things don't go your way and you kind of still got to deal with them. I didn't want to run from defeat. I've lost before, and I'm still look at it in the same way. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to keep my chin up, and I'm going to keep my head high. So for me, I just feel like you be still, you be in it. You embrace the moment, take it for what it is, and, you know, move forward. So for me, I took that as a moment as you came up short, get back in the lab, and you got to get back to the grind.
It's Bills wide receiver Stephon Diggs. The iconic photo, of course, of Diggs standing and watching the Chiefs celebrate the AFC Championship. That was, I mean, a very strong picture, I think. He kind of represented the way a lot of Bills fans felt. You get to that doorstep of the Super Bowl, and you see somebody else celebrate, and you just kind of look at it and say, like, I know the Bills, of course, have been motivated by that moment, getting back to that moment, and being on the other side of it. And part of the other side of it would be having games in Buffalo. Something they can take a step toward today. It is Buffalo Bills game day. It's powered by Energy Mark, official energy supplier of the Buffalo Bills. KC Weather Report brought to you by Sullivan's Brewing Company from Ireland to Buffalo. The best ales in the world. The weather looks like spotty showers, could be intense, could be storm cells, could be a washout, could be they dodge raindrops. We'll see.
A lot of could-bes.
It's definitely not a zero. I'll tell you what, it's not like it is here where it's absolutely gorgeous.
It is elite today. Yes.
Yes, it is. Beautiful. No chance of rain. Great outdoor watching weather if you can get outside. So, it's not going to be like this. We're going to be watching the weather all the way up to game time. Weather's like a game time decision, like Matt Milano.
Right.
This is how we could say it. It's Jeremy White and Nate Geary here on Buffalo Bills game day. Corey Griswold producing as well. We're hanging out with you, gearing up for Sunday night football and keeping an eye on the early games. And games that you might have, you know, an interest in for your fantasy lineups. We'll get you scores, of course, who scores touchdowns late. It will be your own, it'll be a little red zone channel.
A little bit.
And the 4 o'clock game that I think is most interesting, we touched on it very quickly, is Chargers-Browns. Who comes out of that game at 4-0? Because if the Bills lose to the Chiefs tonight and the Chargers find a way to win, I think the Chargers and the Ravens are the two teams that are looking at the one seed. And if it's the Browns that come out on top, well, then it's the Browns and Ravens, and the winner at that division might be the one that comes out with the one seed. So it's all, you know, these games matter. Meanwhile, the Dolphins and the Jets and the Patriots. folks, they're not good.
You can wrap up the division now.
I mean, seriously, none of them are good. The Dolphins, as expected, are getting smoked by Tampa. The Patriots, of course, struggling with the Texans. Latest score in that game. Do you have a new updated score? 22-22. Okay.
It is 22-22. Just right, like that. Green Bay Cincinnati is now. 22-22.
Okay. All right. The Steelers are beating the Broncos, who appear to be, you know, kind of one of those fake 3-0 teams.
Frauds.
You could recognize, and I say this lovingly because we went through it, you recognize, you know, like a 2008 Bills 3-0 when you see it, right? It's like, well,
oh, yeah.
Hey, they look good, and their fans are mad that they're not getting put at the top of the power rankings, but all the other fans in the league are like, you know, you're probably not really that good. So that's the Broncos. I thought it was the Bengals. Maybe not. I thought it was the Raiders, too, but maybe not. We'll see. They're beating the Jaguars. I'm sure that the Jaguars will have some sort of formal apology after the game.
Someone has to apologize. Yeah,
every week they've got some apology to make, and you know, we'll go from there. All right, so Bills-Chiefs, 803-0550. You want to give us a call and talk about game plans today. There's some stats here that we came across through the week, Nate, that I think it sounds like I'm probably going too far to talk about how good the Chiefs' offense is and not giving enough credit to the Bills' offense. But I think that's kind of
justified. You don't really have to go far, though. Like, you go down a page of stats, and you're like, Okay. Like it's not hard to find it to be impressed with what they do offensively, and like, you know,
right. And their body of work is more than just this year. And the Bills had a really strong last year, and then, you know, to start this year, it's been good against bad teams. We'll see what happens. The Chiefs, for instance, Patrick Mahomes in his career is 4-0 against the top scoring defense in the league. Like, you might think,
hey,
oh, yeah. I see the Chiefs over there. What about when you play the top scoring defense? Answer: unbeaten. Okay. Part of that's probably because the top scoring defense is not often on a team with a great offense, right?
Yeah.
And that's what the Bills are really maybe primed to do, have a great offense and a great defense. So you'd like to see this group do something against Mahomes, but more stats, just to scare the pants off everybody. Nate, on 46% of his dropbacks or carries, 46%, they get a first down. It's like one of every two passes.
Yeah,
they don't even. Do you know they have not faced fourth down like a decision this year? They've not gone for a fourth down yet.
They don't. Yeah, they just don't need to.
They have 6 punts in 4 games.
6 punts.
Part of that is because they've been careless with the football.
Right.
They've turned it over. They've got 5 turnovers and 6 punts. So, you know, like the thinking about this offense that what they do. They can actually afford to turn it over. They can afford a fumble. They can afford an interception. It's kind of true with the Bills, too, right? McDermott says they're living dangerously. They won by 40. Put the ball on the turf a couple times and win by 40. So if you have an offense that's good enough, you can survive turnovers. And the Chiefs are one of those teams that so far, you know, they're 2-2. It's bit them a little bit. But over the long haul, I actually think they're built to survive turnovers, much like the Bills could be and probably are.
This is just a fun matchup. I mean, no matter how you twist it and turn it and what stats you want to use to justify it, it's fun what this matchup could be, right? And I think that's probably the part that makes us all nervous is the could part of this, like how cool this game could be, even in a loss. You could learn a lot about the Bills today in a 1-point, a 2-point loss. Sure, it's heartbreaking, but you lose this game 34-33, you know, like 38-36 or something along those lines. Like, you could learn a lot about this Buffalo Bills offense, this team, if, you know, you end up losing a really high-scoring game. I think most people are thinking if the Bills lose this game, it's probably not going to be a slugfest. It's just going to be Kansas City sort of running away with this game. And I guess I would push back a little bit on that, and I guess for me, what it comes down to is if the Bills' offense can put up 30, 35 points, I guess I would have a lot of trouble finding a scenario where that wouldn't be a winning formula.
I would like the Bills to make them sweat. Like, I want Kansas City to feel like they're being chased, not the Bills feeling like they're being chased.
Yeah, and we're... I'd like to see both of these teams. Jeremy was just talking about how the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs haven't even been faced with a decision to go for it on fourth down. I would like a lot of decisions on fourth down today from both of these coaches. Because I do think whoever is more aggressive, and I was, again, talking to Matt Verderam yesterday, a fan-sided, and I liked this point. He basically said the team that settles for field goals in the red zone will lose this football game.
Are you listening, coach?
That's right. And I know Jeremy, I know you guys were talking about it this week. It's like, and that's the reality of the situation is if you decide that you're going to kick field goals, which, listen, I'm not going to just say Andy Reid won't do that, right? Like, Andy Reid might settle for some field goals in the red zone, and those are huge wins. Those would be huge wins for the Bills for this Bills defense. You can force any number of field goals in this game. If you can force whoever wins this red zone battle, that's going to be the team that wins. But this is such a fun matchup for a lot of reasons, and I think the main one is you want to see both of these guys at their best, and I think for me, what I want to see most, more than anything, Jeremy, is a situation where the Bills are 4th-and-3 early in this football game, and maybe it's not the most consequential fourth down, but they just decide, we recognize field goals will not win this football game. I want early on a decision by McDermott, by the Bills, to show everybody, we get it. We know what it's going to take.
Yeah, well, the only problem, and it's not a problem, I agree with that. The AFC Championship game, the Bills went for a 4th-and-1 early and got it, right? A little pass to Dawson Knox of their first drive. they go for a fourth down early, and it was not an obvious call, like at the, you know, 5 yard line or even that far into Chiefs territory. And that, I thought, did exactly what you just said, sent the message. But then when it came to the moments when you had to make a tough call, end of the half, right? What do? We're back on our heels. They've got three straight touchdowns. Oh, God, what do? They went for field goals.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you. I'd love to see it early on, and I'd love to see that when push comes to shove, you know you're going to need every point you get. On some of those stats we were going through a minute ago about how Mahomes, they move the ball. They have 17 drives, touchdown drives. They have 18 touchdowns. 17 of those drives are 65 yards or more. Don't play field position.
Don't.
You won't win it.
No.
Don't play field position.
It does not matter where they get the ball.
Right.
It doesn't.
And with that in mind, 17 touchdown drives of 65 yards or more, here's another one for you. Their average yards per drive is 47. Yeah.
They walk off the bus, and you can give them 47 yards a drive.
Every time you punt to them, they get it right. What's your punt, 42? They're just giving it right back here. If you have an average drive from them,
you're giving Patrick Mahomes yards for his stats. That's what you're giving him.
And the Bills, offensively, are at 33 yards per drive. So, you know, the Bills are not the Chiefs, and I think people still know that. Offensively, they're not the Chiefs. It's where in this matchup you think the Bills' offense against that defense is a better matchup than the Chiefs' offense against this defense, we hope.
Right.
Nobody stops them, but maybe this group can. Mike in Buffalo. Let's go to Mike in Buffalo to our phones, 803-0550. Mike, good afternoon. You're on Buffalo Bills Game Day. We're doing great.
Thank you for taking my call. I do appreciate that. And let's go Bills, number one. Number two is I just want to know, even though Milano is not playing, is Jordan Poyer going to be in? Because, you know, our defense is phenomenal. Even though if Milano's not playing, our offense is good. Josh Allen is amazing. You know, good pick we got for the draft. But, you know, we should have been 4-0. It's okay. You know, we're going to be Kansas City and we're going to be Tennessee. But, you know, we have to worry about Brady, even though everyone hates him. But anyways, yes, and if there's no bad call, no injuries, I think this is our year for the Super Bowl. Anyways, let's go Bills.
Well, Poyer at practice, Nate, remind me, he practiced full go.
Full go.
Yeah, I think Poyer's back. Taron Johnson was full go. The game time decision is Milano. But other than that, defensively, F.A. Obata found himself on the injury report. No, Greg Rousseau, sorry. Rousseau did with a toe injury.
So Epinesa did.
Yeah.
But he will play today, Epinesa. I did see Josina Anderson tweet out that all the indications are that Epinesa will play today and that Milano is a true game-time decision, as is Chris Jones, who was, I think, trending towards playing. But again, that's going to be a game-time decision. Big touchdown by the frauds, the Broncos, to get within potentially a big touchdown by Cortland Sutton there. Also to note, Aaron Rodgers just got basically spatulaed off the ground by his offensive lineman after taking a big shot. They missed the field goal, and now the Bengals have the ball with 2 minutes left at about their 40-yard line. So potentially game-winning drive opportunity. Mm. If the Bengals get to 4-1 by beating the Green Bay Packers, I will be a believer.
You got to respect it.
You have to at least respect it.
And Burrow looked like he was hurt pretty bad in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And came back.
That was a nasty hit.
Yeah.
It was a nasty hit he took.
Thanks for the phone call. Always nice to connect with our fans. Powered by Nextiva, the official communications partner, and by Premcom, the official telephone system of the Buffalo Bills. Power your business connection with Premcom. We've got time for another one. Rob in Charlotte. Rob, good afternoon. You're on Buffalo Bills Game Day.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I just wanted to say, and I wanted to hear you guys. I know you spoke to it a little bit this week. I'm going to be watching Sean McDermott very closely this evening because the AFC Championship game, he coached passive. I think he got scared. I think some of his explanations after the game weren't really on par, and I'm just going to be watching him. I think at his core, I've made this point on your show a few times, Jeremy, I think he's less boastful than Rex Ryan, but he's got a little bit more juice and energy than Victor on. But at his core, I think he's run, stop the run. I think that he's more conservative just by his core. And I'm imploring him to learn lessons from that AFC Championship game because it was deflating. I think he had actually made the explanation that going into half, he just wanted to
feel good.
Yeah,
he thought the team needed to feel good. He was making the case for momentum that they needed that boost of 3 points.
On the board still, Jeremy.
I know.
Heading into
I,
like,
I also don't know if I love the interpretation of those play calls as being scared. I don't think I love it. I'm not here to completely dismiss some level of fear, but I think more so. I don't love that explanation. I think there's probably somewhere in the middle between like conservative and a little bit of coaching with some fear there. But like, I don't know. They were puzzling because of how good all season last year the Bills were at knowing when and when not to go for it, particularly just when to go for it and what situations. Like, it was almost not even a thought in the back of Sean McDermott's mind. He was coaching with so much confidence in his offense, and some of that changed, and maybe, Jeremy, rightfully so. I mean, the offense was not clicking the same way they were at the end of the regular season as they were in the playoffs. And maybe, and we've heard Sean McDermott say this, is he absolutely takes the numbers and the analytics and the situations into account, but he also has a degree of gut feel and gut calls on these. Mm-hmm. And if you're Sean McDermott and you're not as maybe confident in your offense as you were at the end of the regular season, maybe that gut is telling you, hey, you know, we would rather play the field position game. And although all of us would cringe at hearing that, that's probably more of an explanation, is more confidence than fear.
Sure. You know,
I still don't love it, but
I know, and we can get to this a little bit more throughout the course of the afternoon. I go back to the play call that Brian Daboll made, the really ugly loss on fourth down against the Steelers. You know, and anybody can be as mad about that call as you want. It was a gimmick-ish kind of play that blew up and didn't work. And when a play that's kind of crafty blows up, you look really stupid.
Yeah, really
stupid. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it.
That's right.
You know, the Bills had a play where Allen faked in the line and then ran around the end. That's a little gimmicky. What if he fakes it in the line and steps out and then gets drilled? We're asking, what are you doing? So I don't want to necessarily always judge a play on how it looked when it failed. And McDermott, after that play against the Steelers, Nate, he said, you know, that's on me. I got to be better. Basically, it sounded to me like he was going to make sure nothing too crazy, man. Don't get too weird on me out there. And I think if I'm the most aggressive team on fourth down, and I've got as much faith in the coordinator as I do, which is a lot of faith. He's done so many things right that if something goes that poorly, whether it's execution or wrong call, wrong time, in that case, you know, what am I doing as head coach? I'm saying like, man, that's a tough one. I mean, you know, we thought it would work. We had a good look. Didn't work out. But I'm not going to get on him to be more careful about that stuff because these football coaches will smash a fullback into
right.
a wall of people for a decade.
And they bring them all in. Like, they invite everyone to the center of the field and then run into them.
And they'll never after that one say, like, we got to be better on that. Right. I got to get a better play call. Like, it's only the one that goes backwards trying to run away from. Anyway, I think that the caller, Rob, you make a good point that there aren't very many things that people are sour on McDermott about. In fact, I'd say there's probably maybe just one, and it might be how that game played out. How, wait a minute, where are we? Where are the Bills? We watched you all year. Don't turn your back on who you've been. And in that moment when they did, it felt kind of wrong. So I get why that's a story about this matchup.
I know we got to get to a break here, but I think one more thing I want to say about this matchup is I want to be able to say with confidence that I really don't care how it looks in this game. And maybe more so than any other opponent in any other matchup, I simply do not care. Actually, this is the only matchup I would say this and actually say it with a straight face and know that I mean it, which is I don't care how you win this football game. And I don't think anybody should care how you beat the Chiefs, but you should absolutely care how you beat the Jets, how you beat the Patriots, teams like that. This matchup, I could care less what the recipe is. Just get it done.
Yeah. Yeah, on some level, get it done and then, you know, get it done again. All right, we got to get to a break. You're right. 803-0550. Great calls. I mean, join us. We're ready to take calls from you. Bills Game Day powered by Energy Mark, official energy supplier of the Buffalo Bills. Reminder, every field goal this football season can bottle return. Makes a donation to Courage of Carly Fund. Join our goal to kick pediatric cancer in the can. Can bottle return your fastest and friendliest redemption center. Buffalo Bills Game Day. Jeremy White, Nate Geary getting you ready for Bills Chiefs, of course. Stay tuned following today's game for the coach's podium and head coach Sean McDermott live during the Bills postgame show brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown, the official dealership of the Buffalo Bills. Keeping an eye on late games. Nate, any scores to quickly update before we get to break and get off to Sal Capaccio for our second hour?
Cincinnati misses a 57-yard field goal, gives Green Bay 20 seconds. Mason Crosby is lining up now for a game-winning kick. I don't see the distance at play. Jalen Hurts just walked into the end zone to take a lead late in the fourth quarter. 2 minutes in Carolina. And Alex Mattison fumbles the football for the Minnesota Vikings. The Detroit Lions, DeAndre Swift, scores a touchdown. Dan Campbell goes for two to take the lead, 17-16, in a 54-yard field goal from Minnesota right now to win the game and walk off on that one. And the Patriots just kicked a field goal to take a three-point lead with 15 seconds left in the fourth. A lot is happening.
Take back everything I said about Mac Jones.
Minnesota just hits the 54-yard to beat Dan Campbell, who deserved to win that football game. The Minnesota Vikings did not deserve to win.
Dan Campbell came in talking about biting kneecaps, and he's out there doing some smart coaching
things. He is doing a lot. A very commendable 0-5. An honorable tank is happening in Detroit. Like, teams around the league should look at how you should tank properly, and it's in Detroit.
803-0550. Sal Capaccio checks in. We'll get a weather report. We'll get more of your phone calls. Give us a call. 803-0550 to join us here on Buffalo Bills Game Day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.